Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us for an update on our final results for the year ending 31st of March 2021. I'm Enid O'Doherty, Chief Executive of Appreciate Group, and I'm joined today by Tim Clancy, our Chief Financial Officer. I'll start with an update on our strategic highlights from the year. Slide 4 shows that it was a year of significant progress. We're very proud of how we responded to all the challenges and came through stronger and better prepared for the future. We have seen significant growth in digital billings during the year, up from £17 million in the prior year to over £68 million. That includes our involvement in the government's free school meals scheme, where our partnership with Iceland delivered billings of £23 million. We had a strong third quarter seasonal peak up on the previous year, including a record December. This shows clearly that we can capture our share of the market when the market is available. Great progress has been made in the year to streamline and simplify our business. We exited hampers and contract packing, withdrew from the Republic of Ireland, and sold FMI. Alongside this, we withdrew over 400 product variations, so our focus and attention is now on driving the more profitable side of our business, where we see opportunities for growth. Our systems are now performing better even when demand is running high. There were zero outages during the peak season, despite transaction volumes being around double the prior year. This is a good sign of the improved stability of our network. Since the close of the financial year, we announced a partnership with PayPoint. This provides us with access to sell our products through a network of 28,000 outlets throughout the United Kingdom. We're excited about the potential this offers. Slide 5 provides a summary of the financial highlights from the year. Billings were £406.5 million, slightly down on the previous year. This is despite the disruption caused by the first lockdown in particular and our withdrawal from non-core activities. Demand in the corporate side of our business was strong as clients looked to us to help them reward their employees during the pandemic. Revenue was down just over 5% to £106.8 million. We've seen a higher level of deferred revenue as customers' ability to redeem our products has been impacted by lockdown, all of which contributed to a profit before tax of £1.3 million, down from £7.7 million in the prior year. On an adjusted basis, with exceptional items and non-recurring costs for restructuring removed, the underlying profit before tax will be £4.2 million, which is in line with expectations. Our cash position improved on the prior year, finishing at £163.5 million, including free cash of £31.4 million. After reintroducing the dividend at half year, after a pause during the pandemic, we are pleased to now pay a final dividend. Our full year dividend is 1p. Moving to slide 6. Billings during the year have been impacted by the various lockdowns and restriction, and the graph on this slide breaks down billings each month and quarter over the year. It shows the significant impact during the first lockdown when the pandemic initially struck. Things began to improve as restrictions eased last summer with the impact of pent-up demand seen in July. We saw a stabilization from that point with the peak third quarter period performing above the prior year, including our best ever December. A drop in January is consistent with normal seasonality, although the actual billings since the start of the calendar year have been slower than we anticipated. Billings in the new financial year to date are significantly up on last year. A better comparison to look at is the 2019-2020 year, and compared to that, billings so far are 8.6% down. Slide 7 covers operational performance for the year across the three customer-facing brands. Starting at the left with prepayment, we've seen reduced Christmas savings as lockdown impacted our agents' face-to-face activity with customers. The customer demographic includes some that would have faced financial challenges due to the pandemic. Customers also couldn't spend their product in the same way, as many stores were forced to close. We responded with campaigns that looked to boost savers, which led to improved payment rates and improved average order values. We anticipate that there will be a recovery as the world returns to normal. In the center, we look at gifting. On highstreetvouchers.com, we have responded with a pivot to digital. 37 digital products were added, helping us serve customers better during the lockdown. Naturally, redemptions have been impacted by closures of non-essential retail. Overall, we've seen an increase in billings with higher levels of traffic to our website. And of course, we expect to benefit through the new PayPoint partnership. We want to build on this digital momentum going forward. On the right, we cover engagement, the corporate side of our business. Here we saw a real interest in our products as organizations sought to recognize their hardworking employees, particularly for frontline key workers. We have seen significant digital growth and record levels of new business. There has also been a benefit from our involvement in the free school meals scheme. For many of our client organizations, the priority is currently more on establishing their future ways of working post-pandemic. But as we move forward, we anticipate renewed focus on employee appreciation, and we expect to see demand from businesses focusing on acquisition for their customers. Tim will now take us through the results in more detail.
Thank you, Ian, and good morning, everyone. The profit statement is on slide 9. Billings for the year were 3.2% down on prior year due to the impact of COVID, particularly in the first half of the year, plus the removal of hampers following the decision to close that part of the business. However, included in this number is 23 million of Iceland free school meals, a one-off deal across the year supporting this important initiative. Without this and adjusting for hampers in the prior year, underlying billings would have been 8% lower, which is the real impact of COVID. Revenue was 5% down, impacted by product mix, which is shown in the later slide. Gross margin at 23.2% versus 29.2% last year is reduced by the impact of product mix, particularly free school meals, and more single store revenue reported gross in revenue. Distribution costs are down with volume and admin costs higher due to advisory fees relating to the multiple restructuring activities completed. Exceptional costs of 1.1 million are broken down on the next page. So on to page 10 for an analysis of our underlying profit performance. From a PBT of 1.3 million, we add back our exceptional items relating to restructuring, redundancy costs for people within the hamper operation, write-off of some obsolete hamper stock, profits on the sale of FMI and Valley Road, and a further goodwill impairment. We then add back the losses incurred in the hamper and contract packing operation and the costs incurred closing down the Valley Road site, as well as a small loss in FMI, also now disposed. This then gives us our underlying result within the range of expectations. On the next page, we show billings and revenue. Our in-house product mix remains high in billings, but the larger volumes of our digital codes, which converted to single store product, hence why single store revenue is much higher than billings. Other income was lower in both billings and revenue due to the closing of our hamper packing business, where billings and revenue were both reported gross. Segmental performance on the next slide shows reductions in profitability in both areas. Consumer billings were down in Christmas savers, offset by growth in other consumer, and restructuring costs, both exceptional and the wind down of hampers and Valley Road, impact the consumer result. Corporate billings were ahead due to free school meals, but lower margins from this and more lower margin single store product and higher admin costs mean profitability was reduced. Billings by market show that although Christmas savers were down, other consumer, driven by ad hoc gifting customers through high street vouchers, were 21% ahead. Customer incentives were ahead of last year, with some companies continuing to promote this during a difficult year, particularly financial services. Staff rewards benefited from the strong pre-Christmas period, particularly as businesses rewarded staff for home working or instead of Christmas parties. Employee benefits products were impacted by lower retail activity and so were down. Finally, intermediary billings included £23 million of free school meals. And as you can see at the bottom of the page, although consumer was down, corporate billings were ahead of last year despite the pandemic. To further develop the corporate story, the next page demonstrates two key areas, client retention and diversification. The first chart shows good recurring revenues with the bars showing the current year billings by year of client onboarding, with 70 million of this year's billings coming from clients gained pre-2013. The line on this left-hand chart shows historically high retention rates above 90% with a COVID-related drop-off this year, and we expect this to return back to higher levels in the year coming. The chart on the right shows billings by client category, with some expected variances considering the circumstances, particularly leisure and retail down, but healthcare, where there was an obvious need to reward staff, and financial services well ahead. The key point with this is our 40,000 clients are well spread across many sectors. Redemptions on the next page also show the story of a very different year. The left-hand chart shows end-user redemptions by category, with usage in grocery partners well up, particularly during the lockdowns, when non-essential retail was closed, and areas like fashion well down. There was also a shift to online redemptions from high street stores during the year. Billings by format show further progress, with the digital mix up at 17% and the paper mix down on last year at just over 22%. Iceland free school meals contributed to this digital mix, but there was an underlying growth within this also. As a reminder, a greater mix of regulatory products generates higher margins, but also consumes more cash in the short term as we hold the value of these billings in our e-money's trust. On the balance sheet, non-current assets have increased as we've continued to invest in technology, particularly the ERP system, where we've capitalised £3.5 million in the year. Increased monies held in trust reflect the higher mix of regulatory products mentioned earlier, and also delayed spending by customers. This delay also accounts for higher payables and provisions, with free cash benefiting from higher outstanding paper vouchers. This delayed spending is also evident in the cash flow slide, with the trust increase offset by a working capital benefit of higher provisions. In other areas of the cash flow, we received £3.1 million from the Valley Road sale and strengthened the balance sheet by not paying a dividend last year. On the next page, the cash charts show familiar patterns. In the top left, you can see cash coming out of Christmas savers faster this year from a lower order book. E-monies on the bottom left continue to grow as we drive more regulatory products, and free cash in the top right is benefiting from delayed customer spend in the second half of the year. Overall, total cash showed a similar pattern to prior years. In summary, a resilient performance with results where we expected them to be. Billings benefited from free school meals, but our client base is diversified and our product adaptable. Significant restructuring and simplification took place in the year, and that, plus partnership gains such as PayPoint, should allow us to grow when the market returns to normal. And with that, back to Ian for an update on the strategy.
Thanks, Tim. I'll now provide a more detailed overview of the progress we are making in delivering our strategy. We have been focused on building a business that is robust and scalable and that can support future growth. You can see from our progress that we are doing just that. Slide 22 is a reminder of the four pillars of the strategy we set out in late 2018 under the acronym PACE for productivity, appeal, clarity, and experience. Looking at each one of these pillars separately, starting with productivity on slide 23, we have looked at everything from the way we work, including technology and working environment, to our systems and processes. Some highlights of how this is benefiting us include the ongoing seamless remote working. This was only possible because of the investments we have made in earlier years. We achieved Great Place to Work accreditation in the year, including a trust index above the average for UK companies. We are seeing benefits of this in the talent we're attracting, which is of a higher caliber and from a wider geographical talent pool. We had to run peak season differently this year due to COVID, and despite our numbers being up on the prior year, we were far more productive and had less need to use overtime. Our restructuring of the business has removed some of the operational costs as we have scaled back our presence at the Birkenhead site significantly. Ultimately, all this has made the organization more efficient and more effective. Moving to slide 24, appeal, we've already mentioned the opportunities offered through PayPoint. This is our first time having an extensive physical distribution network. We were able to move at pace to help Iceland participate in the free school meals scheme, delivering £23 million for us in billings. New B2B business has almost trebled, and we continue to make really good progress in diversifying the product offering, and it's now much more than simply a retail offering, with increased options such as dining out and leisure and attractions. We're attracting clients from a wide range of sectors, helping us to respond to opportunities such as the demand to support key workers, all of which demonstrates the further good progress being made on improving the appeal of what we offer to our customers and our clients. Moving to slide 25, clarity. Over 400 product variations have been removed, providing us with the focus to drive more profitable business. We have sold our Valley Road premises, providing funds to invest in the business. Digital and online sales growth rates are gaining momentum, and we also have a bigger focus on ESG, helping us reinforce the type of company we want to be. And I'll speak a little bit more about that shortly. The net effect of simplifying the business like this is that we now have real clarity, which allows us to align our efforts very effectively. And then slide 26, experience. Better systems resilience means a better experience for customers, helping drive website traffic up and increase conversion rates. The move away from paper and towards digital continues, but we do recognize that this will have been boosted somewhat as a result of the pandemic. We're now onboarding corporate clients in a matter of days as opposed to weeks as a result of enhancements to processes. And we've removed legacy systems and the issues that come with that, helping the platform become more reliable as we seek to grow. Making it easier for customers and clients to work with us increases sales, improves retention, and drives referrals. On slide 27, we explain our significant progress on ESG. We now have a clearer approach to ESG, which is much more focused on themes where we think we can make a difference. On environment, we're particularly benefiting from the move to digital, and we're introducing new ways of working as we return to the office, which will help reduce the impact from colleagues traveling to work, as well as the resources they use. On social, we have become an official partner of Everton in the Community, which does some outstanding work supporting people across Liverpool. With them, we funded a new education program, which is teaching digital skills to children in over 60 schools across the city. We were delighted to be accredited as a great place to work in our first time of trying, and we are building further on what we have learned from the process. Lastly, on governance, we have made commitments on gender pay and females in senior management, and we intend to build on these further. You have seen that there is a move more and more to our regulated products, and we have moved to strengthen our control and compliance capability and focus. Slide 28 sets out some details of our technology transformation. We have made significant progress in bringing our technology to the level at which it needs to be. We've seen a 200% enhancement in core system capacity. Core processing speed has improved by 120%, and web page load speed has been boosted by over 20%. Increased core system stability has meant zero outages during peak season, despite our highest ever transaction volume. We have new data warehouse and cloud capability, which are adding speed, security, and resilience. We have created a new API capability supporting full third-party digital integration, supporting partnerships such as Iceland and PayPoint. The phased deployment of ERP, starting this year, will further assist the removal of dependence on legacy infrastructure. We will still invest in our technology, but it should be more focused on looking forward rather than overcoming historic underinvestment. Moving then to slide 29, all of this leaves us with a platform that is more robust and scalable. During this coming financial year, we will focus on the three areas shown on this slide. In the column on the left, we look at running the business. Obviously, we will continue to drive performance. We will also continue to fix any legacy issues and processes which can help us deliver and enhance performance. We want to leverage the benefits the new ERP will offer. And as we sell more regulated products, we will maintain our focus on relevant regulation. In the center column, we refer to growing marketing capability. As we become a more digital company, we must ensure best practices and capabilities, especially in commercial planning to meet ambitious campaign targets, activation to build on our existing capability, and brand to leverage the strength and awareness of the Love to Shop brand as we develop our propositions. And in the column on the right, we refer to building the business. We plan to continue investing in developing digital, building on the success to date. And we will continue to develop our products based around the customer and client's needs. We want to leverage commercial partnerships such as PayPoint to find further opportunities. So in summary, on slide 30, we believe we have a strong bedrock for future growth. The investments we have made have helped us respond to COVID challenges and accelerate our migration to digital as customer behavior has moved in this direction. We firmly believe we have a proposition that is now better positioned in our markets. Our business is more robust and scalable with growth opportunities, which was the heart of the strategy that we set out back in 2018, all of which positions us well coming out from the challenges of this last year. Thank you for your attention today.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.